Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hi, everybody. Hi, sweetheart.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I am, in pandemic-adjusted terms, okay.
Right? That is the relevant metric, isn't it?
Yeah.
And welcome, everybody. We're happy to have you with us. Later on in this episode, we're going to talk about coronavirus. It's like Pinky in the Brain. What are we going to do today, Pinky?
I had never watched the show. What's the deal?
Every single day, it's Pinky in the Brain. Brain is like the super genius. And Pinky's like his dopey little friend.
Yeah.
And every day, Pinky's like, what are we going to do today, Brain?
Uh-huh.
And Brain's like, same thing we do every day, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So in this case, it's stay at home.
Yeah.
Same thing we do every day.
Yeah. That's it.
Take over the world from home.
Talk about coronavirus.
Yeah.
From home. So, hi, everyone. It's nice to have you with us. Today is Tuesday, March 24th when we're recording this. I just thought that might be relevant because things are moving really, really fast right now.
Point.
You know what I mean? Like, if you listen to this on the weekend, like, if you wait, like, it's probably going to be hopelessly outdated. Seriously. Like, it'll probably be outdated by the time you release it 12 hours from now.
Could be.
But, you know, we'll see. Hopefully some of the ideas that we're talking about and the ways we're feeling about things might at least have some resonance and relevance still.
Yeah.
We would like to welcome our new listeners. I know that there have been a lot of new listeners this week.
People have some time on their hands.
Right? Turns out a pandemic is good if you have a podcast. Who knew?
Yeah.
It's a growth plan. Mm. So hi, everyone. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah.
We've definitely had a ton of new activity in our Misfit Stars private Facebook group this week, too.
Oh, my gosh.
That's another thing that's happened is that group has exploded in the last week just in terms of people coming there to, like, seek solace and have conversations and get comfort. I mean, like, we've literally had a tenfold increase in posts and comments.
I'm so grateful that was an entity that was started a year and a half ago almost, you know, that it, like, we didn't know then that we would need that now.
No.
And that we would have a need in our lives for that kind of, you know, safe place for connection and community. And I'm so grateful that it's there.
We knew we were building an infrastructure. We weren't quite sure for what. Turns out, right now it's for this.
Right now it is for this. And for those of you who are wondering what we're talking about, we have this private Facebook group for our Misfit Stars supporting members.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be a part of that group, we would love for you to come be part of that group. The way that you do that is that you become a supporting member of Misfit Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to misfitstars.com/join and you sign up at the level that makes sense for you. It starts at $5 a month. It helps us to continue do what we're doing here. Throwing your support behind what we're doing in the world means a lot. And it matters a lot, especially in this time.
Yeah, let me throw a little more urgency behind this.
Okay, do it.
Shannon and I are facing an unprecedented situation in our lives here, which is that because of this coronavirus situation, we're not going to be able to do our annual summer tour, which at this point in our lives accounts for about 75% of our yearly income. So this whole, please become a supporting member of Misfit Stars thing has some new urgency for us.
Yeah.
And we're going to be leaning on that a lot more heavily because, frankly, it's going to be one of the things, like, if we get through this time okay, it'll be one of the things that has helped us do that.
Yeah.
And it's an open question to us whether we will. Like, we're optimistic people, but 75% of one's income going away is a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're artists. We don't have it's not like we had a ton of savings to begin with or trust funds or wealthy parents. You know what I mean? We're just out here doing this with you people, with you, our dear people. Like, we do everything we do in partnership with you, which means that we don't have a ton of reserves. But we keep at it because we feel it's valuable work to be doing in the world. We feel it's what we were put here to do.
Mm-hmm.
The pitch here is a little bit different, you know? It has in the past been sort of an easy breezy, hey, we'd love to have you be a supporting member, you'll get a t-shirt. Now it's a little bit different. Now it's, we would love to have you be a supporting member. We're concerned about our ability to remain living indoors and eating food come August.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't mean to sound dramatic, but that's it. We have enough money saved up from last summer's tour to last us through July, and then it's an open question. So if you value who we are in the world and what we're bringing to the world, please go to misfitstars.com/join. And really, like, there's a bunch of different options there now. It used to be 5, 10, 20. We have them going much higher than that now, only because we had a request from someone to do that because they wanted to support in a higher way. So, like, if you have a stable, good, well-paying job and you have room in your budget to do a $50 or $100 or a $200 a month thing, I know it sounds extraordinary, but there are levels there for that now, and we would embrace and welcome the help. We could use it,
frankly. And it is extraordinary. And for those of you who are supporting us at any level. Yeah. It's extraordinary. Thank you.
That's true.
Thank you for that. So misfitstars.com/join is where you can do that.
If you're already a member, it's misfitstars.com/level up if you want to increase your support.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right on.
So what has our experience been this week? It's funny, right? So the question used to be framed as, so what did we do this week? But we didn't do shit. We stayed around the house. That's the deal.
Yeah. But although, like, this is the time of year we're normally around the house a lot. So honestly, our personal experience of this time doesn't feel super different in terms of, like, how we spend our days.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of other people are having, you know, new experiences with working from home, mm-hmm. you know, figuring out what their routine looks like when they're at home, you know.
Learning who their partner actually is.
Yeah. Totally. You know, but this is something we normally would be doing at this time of year anyway, mm-hmm. being at home, writing, recording a new album, you know, and we're continuing with that work.
Yep, I'm working on 4 records right now. Yeah. This is just that time of year for
me. So, like, we're already used to, you know, getting up in the morning and brushing our teeth and putting clothes on and going about our day. So we're not in the pack of people that's like, I haven't gotten out of my pajamas in a week.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not doing that. So this kind of, like, the I'm grateful that, like, sort of the externals of our life experience, mm-hmm. you know, feel similar. But obviously there's this whole other underlying thing that we're all experiencing that really colors everything. So yeah, we stayed home.
Yeah, and it was an interesting week, right? It was a really incongruous experience. Today outside, and for the past couple of days now, it's just been kind of cooler, spitting rain, cloudy. That feels appropriate for how things feel right now.
Yeah.
But the 7 days prior to that were jarring in that they were the first real burst of spring here in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. Each day was between 55 and 60 degrees, not a single cloud in the sky, beautiful blue skies, a warm, fertile feeling and smell in the air.
Yeah.
It's like spring really was starting to happen. And it was so beautiful and so gorgeous. Springtime here is amazing. And the disconnect between how mm-hmm. it looked outside and how it felt to be outside and the reality of what's happening in the world and our responsibilities and concerns in this moment are just, mm-hmm. it was difficult to reconcile. It's honestly almost easier like this. You know what I mean? This feels like pandemic weather. Like, yeah. Cloudy and pissing down rain, that checks out. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, last week made a lot less sense in a very strange way.
There are so many things about this experience so far that have felt incongruous, right? Like, you described the weather versus what's actually happening and like that. But, like, you know, there's also, you know, the feeling of wow, the enormity of this thing that's happening. And, like, the, you know, we're starting to, like, I scroll through my Twitter feed or my Facebook feed, and I'm seeing people talk about friends they know who have gotten the disease, friends I know who have passed away because of it, you know, and this
just
is
starting.
The tip of the iceberg on this stuff. You know, so like the heaviness and like the just the sadness around all that on one hand, and at the same time on the other hand, watching people show up for each other as human to human and being there for each other and the generosity and the love that we're seeing from a lot of people also. Like, it's this incongruous experience, right? Like, I think there's going to be a lot of these contradictions that we're going to be carrying in this time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. You know, like, reconciling cognitive dissonance is going to become a valuable life skill.
No kidding. Yeah, we did our first grocery run yesterday in like 10 days.
Yep.
We ran out of some fresh fruit and we're like, I just really want some blueberries.
Yeah.
And so we hadn't been out in 10 days. So we went out and stocked up on some fresh fruit.
They're saying once a week. So I feel like we're doing 50% better than we could be doing.
That's right,
even. You know what I mean? I just don't want to sound like an asshole being like, we went out for blueberries. It's not like
it's
that,
true.
People.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we made our once a week, like, government mandated grocery run. We stretched it to 10 days because we're really trying not to leave the house because we take this seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we went out and actually the experience was really good being out in public because, like, that was part of when we were, you know, at home prior to our grocery run yesterday. Like, I'm just kind of like imagining, what's it like out there? What's going on with people, you know? And so that was the first time we would really have been like in the vicinity of other humans. And, like, we went to Costco. Costco could not have handled the situation better than they did.
Costco's
it was so
doing
good.
Amazing. Holy cow.
For the whole experience, we waited outside for about 10 minutes before we were able to go in because they were limiting the number of people in the store, which makes it so much easier to avoid close contact with other humans when you're in the store.
But like we started in the line, like we pulled up to this line, we're like, this is going to take an hour and a half. We were inside in literally precisely 10 minutes.
We got
there at 2:57. We were inside at 3:07. And we had been handed a sanitized fresh cart by the person who sanitized it. Like, it couldn't have been better thought through.
It was. They did a great job. And we were out of there in a half an hour. Like, it was really easy. And I felt safe.
Yes.
And it was good. And, you know, similar you know, good vibes at the grocery store as well, where we popped in.
People were generally being pretty clued in.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
Not everyone.
Not everyone.
But generally. I definitely, at each store, had to say 6 feet.
Did you?
To somebody.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't hear you say that. That's amazing.
It's really funny. This young woman at Costco, kind of like, we were doing one of those, like, meeting at a corner. No, you.
Yeah.
You know? And I kind of backed up, and she's like, no, it's fine. I was like, 6 feet. And she kind of, like, made a sort of, whatever, gesture.
Oh,
and I was like, no, Missy. It's not, whatever.
I didn't hear you.
You and I were in different places. Like, you had already gone slightly ahead.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say that to her. You know what I mean? But just, like, come on, people. 6 feet.
You know, this is part of what we're having to do. And, like, we were having to really educate each other in real time about, like, what we all need to do collectively.
And hold each other accountable.
Yes. It's like, it's... this is part of, it's our responsibility.
I just want to, just for a quick second, just a fun little mental vacation. Let's go on a little mental vacation together. Uh-huh. Let's go to an alternate universe where we have a president who, in kind but firm tones, every evening is speaking directly to the American people and saying, you're doing great. We need you to really keep taking this seriously. Don't forget, people, 6 feet. Say it with me, 6 feet. Imagine, 6 feet. Just imagine if that were the messaging from the top.
I know.
Anyway, that was a digression. Keep going.
Yeah. Thanks for dreamland.
Yeah. That's nice, right, though?
Yeah.
It's a nice little fantasy world.
It is.
We can get that. Vote in November, people.
We are having to pick up the slack in big ways from the lack of leadership.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're seeing a lot of people do that, and I'm really grateful.
A nice little hack that I saw on display at our local supermarket. They had taken that 2-inch tape that you use for painting, and they had made little blue tape X's everywhere on the floor in the checkout area. And all the X's looked like they were like 8 feet apart or so. Mm-hmm. And the idea being that you could stand your feet on your X, and the person in front of you and behind you could stand their feet on their X's. And and they were positioned in such a way that not only were you all far enough apart from each other, but also that carts could go in between you if they were going from aisle to aisle.
How
without
great.
People having to like really move at all.
That's
it
great.
Was really well thought through. It was very simple.
Good job.
But really well thought through.
Man, how much is it becoming apparent to us who the essential workers are in our economy, in our communities?
Right.
People at the grocery stores.
Yep.
People clearly who work in the healthcare field.
Yep. People who, warehouse workers, delivery drivers.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Everything would go, we would all be starving to death without these amazing people. Amazon delivery people.
Totally.
Bless their hearts.
Totally. And it...
Like, I don't mean that in a southern way. I mean it literally.
Yeah,
like, really, bless their hearts.
Yes. I saw somebody saying the other day, you know, we've referred to workers like this for a long time as being unskilled. And how about we not use that phrase anymore? Because these people are keeping us alive right now.
Yeah.
And also, we should be compensating workers like that a whole lot more. If they are this essential to our economy, to our way of life, to our... a functioning society.
Yeah,
we need to be protecting those workers more in normal times.
Seriously.
Ah. Anyway.
Yep.
So yeah. So there's gonna be a lot of
I know, right?
In this episode, I imagine
there are many daily frustrations.
And, you know, we're talking clearly about coronavirus during this episode, and it'll probably be the case for a while because it's a present reality. My hope is that by us sort of like debriefing about our experiences with regard to this thing that we're dealing with, that, you know, hopefully y'all who are listening will feel a little less alone in your own experience. Maybe you can relate to some of the things we're talking about. Like, I'm hoping that just this debrief will be just letting a little bit of air out of all this stuff that we're all feeling, you know, and just, you know, maybe an opportunity to connect mm-hmm. over the experience and exhale. So,
yeah.
So with us. Let's do it in your car right now. Or your kitchen or wherever
no one's
you
in
are.
Their car. Everyone's working from home,
that's
right?
That's true.
Unless you're a delivery driver, in which case, hey, first of all, thank you. Second of all, go R in your delivery truck.
Yeah. So many different kinds of things in our lives. I made a post on Facebook this past weekend about like, what are some things that you're finding yourself doing daily that you weren't doing daily before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I mean, so many people left all different kinds of comments.
Was screaming into the void one?
I think maybe there were a few that were like that. Yeah. My contribution to the list was that I am calling my mom on the phone every day.
Right.
Like, and I, you know, normally in normal times I would have called her, you know, once every week or two.
Sure.
You know, we text here and there.
Yeah.
But she lives alone. And, you know, for her, being isolated in this time is really isolating because she can't be around any other human. And, you know, there are a lot of folks out there who are in that boat, you know, and my mom is one of them. And so I have the power to, you know, hopefully make her experience a little bit less bleak by being a reliable daily phone call.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just a commitment I made to myself that, you know, that I can end each day's conversation with, I'll talk to you tomorrow and make the promise. And I can hear it in her voice that it matters to her.
Mm.
You know, like I can hear that she feels loved. And that's what I want to do, you know.
That's great.
But so many people's experience on that question that I asked, like so many people said they're sleeping more.
Yeah.
It was really interesting how many people said that they were sleeping more during this time.
Yeah.
Cooking at home, of course.
Yeah.
You know, making meals. It's interesting. It'll be really interesting to see how our experience of things shifts.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been keeping a journal.
Yeah.
In
that's
this
right.
time. So I started this like 4 days ago. But it's interesting. I had it in my mind to do it for a few days before that. And I'd been holding in my memory just some weird checkpoints.
Mm.
I know that for me, in my experience, there was a moment when it became crystal clear to me that this was much bigger than I'd realized.
Right.
And that it was just, my whole perspective shifted. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like just the frame widened and everything took on a new meaning.
Yeah.
And for me, that day was March 11th. And I remember it really clearly, right? Mm-hmm. That was the day
What happened that day?
That was the day of that really disastrous...
The
Oval Office speech.
Yeah.
When it was so... just weird. Like other things that happened that day, right? Like you and I had already gotten the idea that maybe there might be a thing happening. We went out for a grocery store stock up. The NBA season was canceled that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the president did that really surreal, bored sounding, clearly improvised address to the nation that was so not reassuring and made it look like he was so not taking it seriously. Remember he did that like random, like, yeah, we're doing a travel ban from Europe. Like what are you even fucking talking about, man?
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like it was just so disconnected from what any of us who was paying any attention at the time understood to be the reality of the situation on the ground,
yeah.
you know? And that for me was like this really weird moment where it was like, oh, this is different than I had realized and much bigger and much more serious, and also the level of denial. Like just all of these things coming together. I could I saw all those lines connecting for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, oh, this is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And so
during that speech, by the way, as a side note, that you know how like overnight there are like stock futures markets happening when the markets aren't open? During the actual speech, stock market, the stock futures tanked.
Yeah.
Like
real time.
With every word he said, everybody else was making the realization that you were making.
Yeah. Right.
That we were making at that time.
Right.
Listening. It's wild.
Yeah. It was absolutely wild. And then there were other things after that as well, you know, that I just sort of kept in my mind as sort of very bizarre mile markers on this journey.
Yeah.
You know, like just every day there's been a sign that things are not normal.
So
you
went back and like reconstructed from then?
I did. You know, and I did this like 4 days ago, and I've been keeping just contemporaneous notes since then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it just felt important to me to really have a record as this happens, because this could be going for a while, and I want to be able to look back and just see how things changed.
Right, because, I mean, even in the last couple of weeks, like, I think that my memory is failing me as to, you know, what state of mind I was in or what was happening actually in the world.
Yeah.
You know, because every day feels like a freaking year.
Yeah.
You know, that, and so I've just like kind of lost touch with what the reality was.
And time is warped. And I found that out when I was doing this reconstructing, because I was going back to emails I knew I had sent to certain people and text conversations I knew I had had. And I was going back and I was realizing as I was doing this that things that seemed like they were 3 days ago were 10 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And things that seemed like they were 10 days ago were three. Like,
oh, interesting.
It's just funhouse mirrors. Huh. Like things take on different, different
That's so
like significances in your mind, and they feel more prominent and therefore more recent. And it's just, it's very odd. This has been helpful for me too, just this project, just in terms of just helping keep my own head straight about what's happening and when and what the threads are.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other themes that you've picked up on as you've have you gone back and read each day, and gone through the progression?
The single biggest thing that I'm noticing is just the whole, people not, as opposed to doing a big thing immediately, doing these incremental denial-based things, you know? Mm-hmm. And an analogy would be, you and I realized very quickly that our summer tour, we can read data and we can listen to scientists. We know how people talk about things and we're good at synthesizing information and learning new facts, you know?
Yeah.
And so 10 days ago, you and I realized that we weren't going to be able to do our summer tour, and we realized it really early. And indeed, we've been hearing from people that getting that newsletter from your email list about us not being able to do our summer tour was one of the things. We heard this today in a phone call with somebody that was one of the things for them that made them realize the seriousness of this time.
Interesting.
You know?
But even my own experience with that, we made that realization 10 days ago. Mm-hmm. But even half a week or so before that, I think we still didn't have our... The information probably wasn't all available to us, and we didn't have our heads wrapped around it. I was still thinking, okay, well, maybe we'll do the tour, but maybe it'll be smaller than usual, or
maybe it'll start in July.
Yeah, I was still in the maybe rationalizing phase.
Well,
then,
that's it, and that's the thing that I'm pointing toward to answer your question. You know, because I've been noting all of the different governmental responses that are happening. You know, and it's wild to see things three subsequent days, Governor Inslee does this small thing. Next day, Governor Inslee does this much bigger thing. Third day, Governor Inslee does this much, much bigger thing. You know.
Yeah.
And it's just funny to look at it in retrospect, you know?
Yeah.
And then to see those patterns playing out in all these other places. And it's so funny for me. The reason that you and I knew that we would have to cancel our tour is because we could see how things were happening elsewhere in the world and draw inferences from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're not exceptionally brilliant. We're not world-level Einstein geniuses. We just are paying attention.
Right.
And it's especially now that we're seeing all of these things happen, in this state, this predictable sequence of governmental events happens.
Yeah.
Denial, denial, big solution. Small solution, big solution, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's why can't every other state see that happening? They're reading the same news I'm reading.
Right.
Why can't they just get out in front and do the big solution and maybe save 300 more lives.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's wild to me that everyone else isn't drawing the same inferences that you and I are able to draw from publicly available data.
Yeah. I mean, and we were really scouring because we really needed to figure out what our future was going to look like and all that. So we were looking for it. And I get it that a lot of people, average folks, they rely on their leaders to tell them the truth and to be upfront with them about what the public is facing.
Well,
and
we were looking at it like it's our job.
Yeah.
Like our leaders... It's their job.
It's actually their job.
It's actually their job. You know what I mean? They should be looking at it with the same assiduousness and clear-eyed nature that
there
you and I are.
There are leaders doing that.
Yep.
They are local leaders. They are state leaders.
Yep.
There are people who are taking this very as seriously as the moment requires and are doing what they need to do. It is what is the word? There are so many words.
All of which are failing you right now.
Heartbreaking / flabbergasting / maddening / all of that our national leadership is just not there. It is really...
Today is the day, by the way, for posterity. Again, it's Tuesday, March 24th. Today is the day that our president suggested that everything would be back to normal by Easter. Business... What did he say? Business open again, open for business on Easter.
Uh-huh.
Which... What a terrible message be coming from the loudest voice in our country and in the world.
I mean, here's the thing. He's not been leading on that front the entire time. It's been local leaders. It's been state leaders that have been, putting restrictions on their populations to stay put. So, in terms of the practical, loosening of restrictions, it's not going to happen if the local leaders don't think it's necessary, or advisable to do that. But the message itself is still completely irresponsible, because there are folks who will just defy their local orders because the president said it's okay to go to church on Easter.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely. Like, well, even not even on Easter itself in the future, you know that right now in this moment today, people hear him say that, and what they think to themselves is, see, the liberal media is just making a hoax out of this. He knows it's not that serious, and therefore I know it's not that serious.
Right.
And so I am going to go to the store right now, and I'm going to shake my neighbor's hand,
right.
And I'm going to give my friend a hug,
right.
And I'm going to go to the bar today.
Right.
And this is how diseases spread through communities, right? It's planting bad ideas in people's heads who aren't looking for the information anywhere else.
Right. This is like a funny aside.
Yeah.
I need a comic break, so here we go.
Okay. And I love when you tell jokes, so let's hear it.
It's not even a joke. It was somebody's, I saw some on, I think it was Instagram, someone's description of how virus spreads. They're like, think of it like you go to your kid's friend's birthday party where they're making a glitter art project. And you leave that birthday party with glitter all over your hands. You try to wash your hands, but there's still glitter there. You know, and you get home and you open your front door and glitter now is on your front door and it's never coming off, you know, and
right.
And like all the things that you go throughout your day and you know, and you spread the glitter, and then people you spread the glitter to spread the glitter to other folks. And it's think of the virus like glitter that you cannot overcome.
I love it.
You know, and it was really kind of a good way of visualizing.
That's great.
How it spreads.
I love it.
But
it's a Hobby Lobby visualization.
Oh, I feel like that's maybe not the...
It's appropriate.
Yeah, it wasn't Hobby Lobby, though, like...
They're the bad one.
They were, like, making people come to work when they shouldn't have been. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway. This is... It is wild times. I feel like... You know, this idea, well, today was the day that the president said the thing about being back to business by Easter, whatever.
Gotta get that economy started, right?
But today's also the day that, it was last night, actually, that there were some people in, I mean, I'm not trying to make this partisan, but they're Republican leaders who were saying things. There was the lieutenant governor of Texas who on television last night suggested that grandparents ought to be willing to die from this disease in order to save the economy for their grandchildren.
Yeah.
And if that's just not the most grotesque thing I've ever heard in my life, I don't know what is.
You know, it's not authoritarianism until you have some eugenics is how I feel about it. So really, it feels on brand.
Yeah. But, you know, this idea that like, oh, we're just going to open the economy again to quote unquote save the economy. But just, you know, a bunch of vulnerable folks are going to have to die.
And let's be clear, when they say the economy, what they mean is corporate profits. That's what the economy is. And that's how it's measured.
Yeah.
We could also save, like we can conceive of things differently.
Yes. I mean, there are so many layers to unpack here. So like The economy being bad actually does hurt everyday folks in a lot of ways. So there's that also. You know, this is going to be a hard time. This is going to be hard. It already is hard. It might get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
Probably will. You know, but economically speaking, this is going to be a difficult time for everybody. But as I saw someone, you know, frame it this way last night, and I kind of recontextualized it into a post that I made on Facebook as well. The choice is not... keep people at home and save
and ruin the economy,
or B, let people go back to work and save the economy.
Save the economy.
Those are not choices available to us.
Those are not the two choices.
The two choices are stay at home and hurt the economy, or let people go back out into the world, into work and shops and restaurants and all that stuff, and millions of people die. We overrun our healthcare system, social chaos ensues,
and
the economy is hurt even worse than it was would have been otherwise.
Newsflash for morons: the economy is going to get hurt
no matter what.
Period.
Yes.
End of story. There's no way around it.
That's right. So,
maybe for non-morons, maybe you're super smart but just haven't thought this through. Let me do that thinking for you right now. That's how it's going down.
Yeah.
And like being in denial about it, like we were talking about earlier in the discussion, denial-based approaches will not help here.
Well, and that's part of the reason why we're in this in this situation to begin with, right? Because the federal government was made aware of this virus and the risks involved in allowing it to spread back in January, and they did nothing. They chose to downplay it, ignore it. Because of a short-term fear that it would spook the stock market.
Short-term thinking. Yeah. Oh my gosh, so, it's just like, wild.
I know that y'all listening probably share these frustrations, and let's just do a group right now, okay?
I read something in this really fascinating article last night. It was an article contextualizing how pandemics have worked throughout history.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the similarities. It's like, it turns out that like how governments respond to plagues has been essentially identical and predictable going back thousands of years.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and so listen to this. This is so interesting for me, it was interesting as a means of contextualizing this.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a commonality to the recurring themes that mark pandemics throughout history, it's because of the physical reality of the ailment. COVID-19 can't be explained away, can't be ignored, can't be obscured, can't be denied. It can't be tweeted out of existence. It turns out that internet memes aren't the same thing as viruses. We may yet discover that in a post-reality world, reality has a way of coming to collect its debts.
Oh, damn.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it kind of feels to me like that goes to the heart of what you're saying. Like, yeah. That there is a reality here on the ground that glib talk can't elide its way around.
No. The really sad part about it is that the glib talk and the denialism and the slow reactions because of an unwillingness to accept reality is going to be, the price for all that is going to be paid by a lot of people who shouldn't have to pay the price.
Yep.
Not just the people who are, we've been working with this assumption that this disease, is fatal mostly for people with these pre-existing conditions, like lung issues, heart issues,
diabetes.
But I keep seeing stories left and right of perfectly hale and healthy younger people in their 40s.
People our age.
I read today that the first person under the age of 18 died from this disease in California today. Yeah. So, like, it's not just going to affect the more vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
Yes. And if that were the case, it would still, that's still, holy moly, like, unacceptable for all those things that our leadership failed to do. The price will be paid by all of us, not just the people who will get sick from this. Mm-hmm. And that spans all ages. It's not just old people. It's not just sick people who will die from this disease, but all the healthcare workers who are on the front lines.
Just total side note, but once all the healthcare workers who don't have appropriate personal protective equipment start getting sick and can't be there to then help take care of people, it's just going to be this spiral.
I know.
Holy cow.
So I've been thinking a lot about how this time, that statement about the Lieutenant Governor of Texas saying, well, perhaps we need to let the old people die to save the economy for the grandkids. Holy cow. But that statement, it really puts in very stark relief what a person like him, what someone like him has is that his priorities for life and the world and our society.
Yeah.
Right? Like, letting people die is better than economic hardship.
Yeah.
And that's, it's drastic, but it's very revealing in terms of how one's thoughts are formed about what their priorities about society and life are.
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking about, like, this is really, this crisis, it's a worldwide crisis.
Yeah.
That really gives all of us an opportunity to really put in stark relief what our priorities are.
Yeah.
As people, as families, as cities, states, as a nation.
Yeah.
What are our priorities and how do they manifest when we come to a moment of crisis like this? And it's a revealing time, I think, for that. And also an opportunity to really evaluate and maybe reevaluate what priorities are.
Well, you know, it's funny, right? Like, I'm not an anti-capitalist, right? Like, there are different ways to conceive of how economics would work in a body politic, you know, and on one extreme end, there's socialism, and it's in the news a lot lately, and everyone's got an opinion about it, right? I think that, capitalism has for sure, lifted more people out of poverty over the last 150 years than any system that came before it. And that's, there are a lot of positive things about that for sure. But, like, it's been under a stress test for about 2 weeks, and it's crumbling.
Yeah.
So maybe, I'm just going to throw this out there, maybe it could use some careful, like, assessment and refining.
Adjustment, perhaps.
Right? Because, okay, sure, it's a great system when everything's going well, but, like, as anyone will tell you who has any shred of a concept of personal responsibility about them, you don't just plan for the good times, you plan for the bad times. Mm-hmm. You know, in the same way that businesses should have prudent reserves, and, as opposed to doing, like, stock buybacks, like, the airline industry had record profits over the past number of years, and they reinvested all of those profits into executive bonuses and stock buybacks to juice their profits and to juice their shareholder returns, leaving them with no prudent reserves. So 2 weeks into this, they're on the edge of going bankrupt.
Right.
Imagine if they had those $46 billion in the bank right now instead of having done stock buybacks.
Yeah.
Imagine how that would be different.
Yeah.
And now, like, zoom that out to, like, the entire structure, like, our entire economic framework.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's possible that the way we have conceived of, fundamentally conceived of, our economic framework is flawed.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, we're seeing so many of the flaws of our system exposed in this time. The income inequality that's been growing and has gotten so dire. I mean, it's been growing for, what, 40 years and has gotten to the point where, people have been living on the edge for a long time.
Yeah.
This pandemic is revealing in a headline-worthy way, of how people are going to be suffering and are already suffering in this time. Those people were suffering before.
Yeah.
It's just that it wasn't such a society-wide problem to actually get the attention of a lot of people.
I wouldn't even frame it that way. It was society-wide. It just wasn't dramatic or current. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? For something to be news, it has to be new.
Right.
And there's nothing new about haves and have-nots in America.
Right.
It's how our country is structured.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, indeed, the way our country is structured is that for there to be haves, there have to be have-nots, right? We discuss unemployment rates of 3, 4%. Like, those are good things. In what world is 3% of people not being able to have work morally acceptable?
Right. Well, and especially if we don't have an adequate safety net to lift those people up who aren't working.
Yeah.
We don't. The safety net that is there has so many freaking holes in it, that allow for people to, they don't actually help, it doesn't actually help people in a meaningful way. It keeps them, it's designed to keep them down.
To keep them trapped.
You know, like an example of this is in some of the stupid laws around people who get disability.
Sure.
Who get financial aid for disability.
Right.
There are these rules that you can't have over a certain amount of money in your bank. If you're a disabled person receiving benefits, your benefits will be canceled if you have a certain amount of money in your bank account. But maybe you need to save up to get that really expensive
wheelchair
that you use to get around in the world. Well, how the heck are you going to do that without disrupting the benefits that you need to survive?
We have a musician friend who cannot marry the love of her life because they need to keep money in his account that is not legally tied to her name because she has a crippling disability.
Right. And this is a problem for a lot of disabled people can't get married because of this exact thing. Like, can you imagine? Like, can you just imagine that? So this is just an example of our quote unquote safety not actually being there to keep people safe.
Sure.
And you mentioned an unemployment number of 3%. It's also meaningless if the majority of people, 20, 25% of people are you know, are horrifically underemployed.
Or working at poverty wages or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, the reason that they are working at poverty wages is because until we get to 0% unemployment, unemployment becomes a tool to exert downward pressure on wages because people are competing for jobs. Until there's 0% unemployment, people at some level, at the lowest level, are competing for jobs, mm-hmm. which allows people who are providing mm-hmm. wages to keep wages low because people will compete for those $7.25 an hour jobs.
Man. Yeah, the other flaw that has been exposed in our system, obviously, is healthcare. You know, like in a pandemic, you want people to be able to go get testing and treatment.
You want them to feel encouraged to.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I'm concerned for the number of people who aren't seeking appropriate care right now because they know they can't afford it.
Yep. I'm not going to the hospital. It's going to cost me $300. I don't have $2 to my name right now.
Right, right. And then, you know, let's just wait for the days when insurance companies start denying people claims when they've racked up, you know, thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical bills because they were on a ventilator for 2 weeks with this disease. And,
right.
And the insurance companies find some way to get themselves out of paying for that treatment.
Right.
You know, I mean.
But the executive will get a new yacht. Shareholders will get increased value.
Yeah. So this is exposing severe problems in our the fabric of our society.
That, just like conceptual problems.
You know, that I think that we have an opportunity right now to think about these as individuals and to decide how we would like to see it to be different because our system is being broken right now. We're gonna emerge from this at some point, and that after time is going to be an opportunity for a reinvention. And we have the opportunity to advocate for and create a different set of circumstances for humanity going forward.
Yeah.
And it's
we also have a huge opportunity to be totally in denial, to screw people at the bottom, to do business as usual, to let everybody but the wealthy fail. Like, we have choices to make here.
Right, right.
Like, this is not a foregone conclusion. Mm-hmm. That things are going to work out.
Oh,
well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this is the time when the most of the veil will be lifted back,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely.
You know? Like, mm-hmm. you can't bullshit your way around this.
Mm-hmm.
Like that little piece that I read from that article earlier was alluding to. Like, you can't lie about this.
No.
It's right here in front of your face, making itself physically apparent in the world. It's mm-hmm. it is here among us, and the havoc it is wreaking is perceptible and palpable for every single person.
Yeah, I think it will be.
I think
we're not
That's
even
right.
quite there yet.
We're not even close to there yet. Wait
yeah.
until everyone has had a relative die.
Right. Yeah. I saw someone break this down. Like, if you just take the predicted fatality rate of this disease, mm-hmm. if you accept that that's like, was it like 3% overall, 2-3%, something like that?
Estimates vary from 1-3.
1-3. Okay, so let's just take 2-3%. And they say, well, you know, the average person maybe interacts with, like, you know, on a semi-regular basis or regular basis, about 200 people in the world.
Sure.
You know, your family, your friends, your coworkers.
People at the store.
People you know, about 200 people on a regular basis. Are you prepared to select 5 to 8 of them right now that will die from this disease?
Right.
Right? Like, that's stark. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen for all of us, you know? And
I mean, even on the low end, right? Even
right.
on the 1% end of things mm-hmm. for 200 people, that's still 2 people. Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Stay indoors. yeah. And so, you know, I think it feels sometimes a little overwhelming, even as we're having this conversation right now, I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed
sure.
in terms of the societal-wide stuff that's being revealed to us and the obvious things that need to change if we're going to be a society that is just.
So let's talk about maybe something that's got a little bit more positivity about it, which is that in this time, and you and I were discussing before we started recording this, like maybe one hugely positive thing that feels like it might be happening in this time is that things are simplifying.
Yeah, and when we talk about sort of this being an opportunity to reevaluate our perspectives about
yeah.
what's important and what our priorities are, that's true as a society, but it's true for us also.
Yes.
I think that's what you're getting at, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, people needing to be in their homes and not be going out and about in the world is a simplifying time in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And again, in that weird contradictory way where like things are going crazy and at the same time, they are so much more simple, you know?
There's something in Buddhist thought, you know, and it's more related to the idea of spiritual tourism, but like they talk a lot in that tradition about the idea that people, especially in the West, just fill up, just frantically fill their lives with more and more and more activities and things and commitments and appointments so as to hold off thinking about death, right? Because in the Buddhist tradition, thinking about death is like something that you're supposed to do because you're supposed to welcome it and embrace it and plan for it so it's not shocking, so your karma is pure when you make that transition, etc., right? But like this is like really, it's that in practice, like that idea of like, well, what if you were all of a sudden forced to shed every single thing that you mindlessly used to fill up your life? You can't go to the gym, you can't go to your clubs, you can't go to, you know, your social things, you can't go to the bar, you all of the things that you were just using to fill up your life. And with kids too, especially, think how overscheduled kids are, right? And like they just get shuttled. I know my sister's kids are not even the worst, but like after school it's like soccer practice and then swim practice and then this cello lessons, and like every day is just full. And all of a sudden now, not just kids, but all of us are just having to confront things that, like, I mean, you and I are old enough. We were born in the 70s, right? And like, I can remember a time, like I grew up, we only had four channels. You know what I mean? Yeah. We didn't have cable where I was. I was on a dirt road in Vermont. Like, and so like, there wasn't, even if I had been allowed to watch the tube, there was nothing good to watch on it anyway, you know? And so really, I just had to grapple with the idea of being bored. Like, there's nothing that's going to entertain me. I got to entertain myself. I have to fill my own brain with thoughts and ideas. And like, you and I were reading
activities.
You and I were reading something so inspiring recently, right? The idea that maybe in this time, children will learn, a whole generation of children will learn a love of nature.
Maybe
maybe kids a few years older than them have not had the opportunity to learn. Maybe they'll rediscover their imaginations or discover them for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that we have to grapple with, like, well, just who are we? I think that's why we fill our lives up with so many activities, so we don't have to look in the mirror and just be like, well, who are you? Who are you? Who am I on the inside, and what do I like? Who am I as a person? And we're all having to think about that now, you know?
Yeah.
And like,
hey, I just had this thought a couple of years ago. I wrote a song for the album The Space Between called Takeaway.
Yes. How apropos.
Can we, when you go to edit this episode, just maybe insert that song for folks to listen to here?
Oh, yeah.
And this song is really just about this meditation of the idea of what if you took away everything? And we're kind of in a living experiment right now of taking, of shedding all the things that we have used in our lives to give ourselves a sense of identity and meaning. And just peeling those things off one by one. We're all kind of in this real-time experiment of that right now. And I wonder how that's feeling for people. And I want to go back and listen to that song. At the time, I wrote the song in order to take people through that experience, hopefully, of that shedding, to get to the point where, you know, where we can realize that at the core of everything, with all those externalities gone, each of us is the same.
Yeah.
You know, that at the core, at our core, we all have value. We all have worth. We are all made of love at the center of our being. And we let so many of these externalities get in the way of connecting with each other or seeing the worth in other people because of those things, you know, our barriers.
That's great. That's a good setup. Let's listen to the song now.
Okay.
Take away your house. Take away your car. blame your money or me. Take away your place, your time, your name. Who are you now? Who are you now? Who are you now? Who are you?
Apropos in this time, huh?
I hadn't really thought about it until you started talking about the peeling away of things. And
we're going to have to, as a society, really, I think, fundamentally deconstruct to a certain level, like who we are and what our values are. And it's entirely probable that we may arrive at a new set of shared values.
I hope so. I've been thinking a lot about how this time that we're in, I think some of the sort of, this is going to sound sort of new agey and weird, and I'm not even a new ager, but sort of like vibrational tension that I feel like in my body and my spirit when I sort of sit and just, you know, am still in this time.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about how I wonder if what that thing that I'm feeling is this being in the middle of what, you know, when history looks back on this time, that before, right, that there will be a before time, before now. And there will be an after time when this is all over. Mm-hmm. And we will come to define our experiences, our lives, our history in the before this and the after this, but we're in the this right now. And it's a real opportunity to decide what the after time's going to be.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of forming our ideas and our dreams about what the after time's going to look like.
Yeah.
And I hope that we come out of this with something good.
Yeah, me too. And you know, as scary a time as it is, I think it's also a time when we can, and maybe all should, dream big.
Yeah.
Like really let our imaginations go with like a fundamentally different way to conceive of how we relate to one another and how we value human life, what we think of as being human rights. You know, we can clear just from a pragmatic point of view, it's clear like our system has been under stress for what, 3 weeks? And it's falling apart.
Yeah.
That's not a robust system.
Mm-mm.
That's not a well-designed system.
Not a sustainable one.
And it's not even really that it's been designed. It's just that it's been protection of wealth and service of wealth. That's what this country was designed around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that's not an amazing or particularly resilient organizing principle.
Right.
You know, I mean, like you look at the way we've organized our society, you look at it funny and it falls over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Can I share maybe as a point of conclusion here this quote that I read, and I shared it on Facebook last week from somebody that the last sentence of this is what really got me, but I'll read the whole thing. It's short. Final thought of the day. The world as we know it is gone.
Yeah.
Bad people are exposing their ugliness. Good people are rising and revealing their grace. Mm-hmm. And there are so many more good people. And here's the last sentence that really got me. Mm. The future is whispering to us, time to find a new way.
Mm. That's wonderful.
Yeah. I hope that's what we can seize.
Yeah.
Collectively in this time.
Yep, same here. And you know, it's going to take a collective effort and it's going to take a concerted effort. This is not work that we can leave for others.
No. This is up to us.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You doing okay?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, I mean, fine.
In pandemic-adjusted terms.
Yeah. But yeah, it's always good to talk. And you know, for those of you who are in our Misfit Stars Facebook group, I would love to hear your thoughts on some of these ideas also. We'll be sure to make a post in the coming days.
At this point, probably one of our people will beat us to it.
Yeah, if you beat us to it,
please
great.
Please do.
We would love to see it. And if you'd like to join us in that group, we would love to see you there. It has become such a rich, encouraging, compassion-centered place for debriefing and venting and encouraging one another, and we would love to have you there. So the way that you become part of that group is to become a supporting member of Misfit Stars. You go to misfitstars.com/join mm-hmm. and sign up.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Yeah, and thank you very much. And again, I want to lean on the idea that this whole become a supporting member of Misfit Stars thing has some newfound urgency for us. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we sort of put it in a distanced kind of, you know, plausible deniability way usually. Like, support Misfit Stars. Let's be blunt. When you support Misfit Stars, you're supporting me and Shannon. You're supporting the two of us. Mm-hmm. It's a vehicle for us to aggregate a little bit more predictable income. And we need more predictable income right now. You know, we are scrappy and we are resilient. And we have, for the last, like, 12 years, sourced 100% of our income by engaging people around music and art, you know? And we have been able to be successful doing that because we have an amazing group of people around us. Mm-hmm. If you listen to this, you're one of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are tools that we have had at our disposal in previous years, namely and specifically our annual summer house concert tour, that this year and perhaps even next year will not be temporarily available to us.
Right.
You know, house concert tour 2022, like once there's a vaccine for this thing, it's going to be off the hook. It's going to be amazing.
I'm not giving up hope for 2021 yet. We don't have the information that
we
need to have.
We
yes.
don't.
Yeah.
It could happen. If the 14-month window is more accurate, we could do it.
Yeah.
But point being, it's for sure in 2020 not an option for us. That's 75% of our yearly income. Meaning that we need to replace 75% of our yearly income. And monthly subscriptions, small dollar monthly subscriptions via our Misfit Stars Patreon community are going to be a big part of our plan for that. So if you're listening to this and you have a stable income and a stable job, if you have some extra disposable income in your life, please consider disposing some of it in our direction.
Yeah.
You know, we used to, for the longest time, just have three levels for Misfit Stars, 5, 10, and 20, and it was sticker sheet, t-shirt, mug, right? We have, in the past week, added levels at $50, $100, and $200, and this is per request of somebody because there was a person who wanted to come in at $100 a month. That's amazing. We're going to need a whole lot more of that. We're going to need a lot more people in, obviously, at the $5, $10, and $20 levels. But every person who comes in at 50 or 100 accounts for, you know, between 10 and 25 dollar people. So if you're already a supporting member and can support more, please do. We will be relying on every single person to help us get through this time. If you're not yet a supporting member and you like who we are, you like what we're doing in the world, please, we need your support. This is a survival issue for us mm-hmm. in this time. I don't mean to sound dramatic about it, but also I'm not overselling that.
Right.
It's true. So if you're not yet a supporting member and you want to help us continue to live indoors and eat food, please help. You go to misfitstars.join or misfitstars.com/levelup, depending which group you find yourself in. Thanks for that.
Thank you all so much. Thanks for giving us your time today, too, and be well. Take good care of yourselves.
Yeah, we love you very much.
We'll talk to you again next week.
See you then.
Bye.